You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
He just walked through the door looking like $1 million and carrying a large double-double coffee, I think. Is it coffee?
Look who's talking. The nicely tanned, vacationing Ken.
Walter, I don't tan. I burn when I open the refrigerator door and the light comes on. But it's good to be back. Good to see you and talk to you. And how are the last couple of weeks? Have you been busy?
It's been great. I mean, busy for sure. You missed out on a couple of nice rainstorms. But
I heard, yeah.
Yeah.
With power outages. And
that's right. Yeah. That's right. So you missed all the action, but it was good. Yeah. I mean, good.
Yeah.
It was tiring, but it was okay.
You know, we have this conversation all the time with this erratic weather, more and more with crazy weather and power lines going down. More and more people, as you probably know, are turning, finally deciding we're going to get the generator.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Is that something that you deal with?
That's actually something that is happening more and more often because the issue with sump pumps is you really need them with the when you have a downpour. And when you have a downpour, usually the electricity, you know, there's a lot of wind, the electricity is out.
Yeah.
So it's like what comes first, the egg or the chicken. So if you don't have any backup electrical, that sump pump, you could have the best system in the planet. But if it's not working, then you're not going to have, you're going to have a flood in your basement.
Yeah.
You know, either that or you do a battery powered pump. But I mean, it's not as unaffordable as people think. Okay.
For the generator, you mean?
For the generator.
Yeah. There are different sizes, different capacities, I guess, right?
Correct. And what you really need, I mean, you don't need to necessarily light up your whole house. You need your fridge, your freezer, your furnace, possibly, if you want to heat in the winter.
The toaster oven.
The toaster oven. That's correct. I mean, a couple of plugs in bedrooms and so on and so forth. And that's all what you really need. Maybe a TV. So you don't need always, even if you have a big house, you don't necessarily need a huge generator.
Can we put you to work and go to the phone?
Oh, of course.
All right. Walter Assey from Minovco is here to answer your questions. Call now. Any kind of issue or, like I said before the break, sometimes you just need a couple of answers to set you off on your project, off on the right foot. 514-790-0800. Going to bring in Ken from Laval, who's got a bathroom reno he wants to talk to you about. Ken, are you still there?
I am.
Go ahead.
So hopefully you get me off on the right foot. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking to like strip down the whole bathroom. Would like to put in a curbless shower. Would like to put in a linear drain, but that drain would be perpendicular to the floor joists. So two questions. One, can I do anything to notch the floor joists and then reinforce? And number two, the slope, is it a quarter inch per foot?
So when you have a stepless shower, that's what you probably is referring to. The good thing about it is you can have it with a pre-made kit slope. So if you go with the Schluter system, you don't even have to manipulate the kit yourself. It's already, everything is pre-done for you. Now, notching the joist is really, really not recommended.
Understood.
Because you are notching it in the worst possible place. If you ever need to go through a floor joist that is a solid one, not the engineered ones, the best place to do it is through the middle of the joist. When you do it from the edges, it's automatically losing most of its strength.
Okay.
So if you can get away without doing it, that's fine. Now, having said that, you are able to do a linear, a stepless shower with a regular square or a circular floor drain, not necessarily needing the linear drain in case you have floor joist issues in the way. So, you know, we've done stepless showers with different types of drains depending on all the constrictions that we have.
Right.
Okay. So that's why I'm saying, you know, maybe linear drain in certain cases is not the perfect fit for you.
Right. And so just last question. On the pre-made Schluter, my only concern is once I remove the tiles that are there now and I put that in, that might be higher than the...
You're right. You're right.
The transition to the hallway.
You're right. And you know, it's always going to be this balance. Now,
right.
You will Did you start? Did you do the demolition?
No.
Okay.
No.
So if you're lucky when you do the demolition, you will see that in a lot of cases we have the same worry. So especially that you want it to be stepless, okay? And then when you put that kit, you turn out, if you don't lower your floor where the shower is, you're going to get even higher. So you're going to have a step, which defies the whole purpose. So in a lot of cases, we actually get lucky. We see that we have a bit of give. Sometimes, you know, I want to highlight, we sanded a little bit certain areas just to be able to bring it down a couple of millimeters.
Okay.
But never notched a joist, ever.
Understood.
Okay. So that might be one way. The other way would be is to go low, to go, if you don't have the give, is to go a bit higher on the floor, but that will give you a sill at the door.
Right.
So you're going to be higher on the other side, which is, to be honest with you, expected in the sense that, you know, ceramic and hardwood usually, in a lot of cases, it's higher, so it's not as bad.
Right.
But where you really want it to work is inside the bathroom. So make sure that, you know, you do what you need to do through the inside of the floor, that you don't have lippage between the two.
Right. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. And again, we went to see Corinne Bailey Ray last night. So.
Oh, sure. You're just rubbing it in now, Ken. How was she?
She was good.
Yeah. It was a nice night at the Jazz Fest. A lot of people?
Yeah, tons. Enjoy your taste in music, by the way.
All right, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thanks, Ken. Thanks for the call. 514-790-0800 with Walter Assey from Renovco for the entire hour. Call now if you have a question like Ken did. You know, we're talking about water damage and the storms that we had recently while I was away. I guess the thing is, and the frustrating thing is, you could have water damage and maybe a leak in the roof. But you don't really realize it until it starts coming down through the ceiling,
mm-hmm.
Right? So is there any kind of prevention thing to do or inspection that you can do to see if you have any kind of water damage up on your roof?
Well, I had a client that called me when we had the rainstorm, and he had 3 feet of water
accumulated
on his roof.
Right.
Well, you have a flat roof.
Okay.
He goes, I measured it in 3 feet of water. So it's almost to the lippage of the parapet wall. Now, I said, when was the last time you had your roof inspected? He goes, we did the roof 10 years ago. So the guy, he didn't hire anyone, or he didn't himself go up to the roof to check the drains or clean them in 10 years.
Okay.
I mean, it needs maintenance. It doesn't mean because it's new. It's like buying a new car. You know, it's not because the car is new, does not need an oil change, check the brakes, check the tires, and so on and so forth. Same thing with a home. You know, even if you renovate something, periodically you need to check it out. And that's why we say best time to do it is usually end of summer, which gives you a bit of time in the fall, and then the end of fall. The reason I say the end of summer is because if you need to take action, you need to find the contractor right in time to fix it. If you need to change your roof, you can call a contractor in December and tell him, come and change my roof.
Are you saying do it annually? I'm feeling guilty that I'm a negligent homeowner now.
Well, certain things have to be done annually, okay? Like, you know, checking the caulking, checking the foundation cracks, you know, checking your roof, you know, for any anomalies. A lot of the time, actually, because, I mean, we have a lot of people tell us, well, I'm not going to go on my roof every year. And that is a very well-founded
worry.
Exactly.
Concern, yeah.
Because, you know, especially if you're up there in age. So what I'm recommending is drones. You know, get them to learn how to use a drone, and they go up and, you know, they fly the drone over the roof.
And you can see enough through the drone?
Yeah. Very crisp. It's to be honest, I even think you see better. Because, you know, when you're on the roof, you're all nervous, like especially on those crazy slants.
Of course, yeah.
When you're with the drone, you could do it slowly, you could look, you could take your time. And a lot of inspectors are using drones right now as a mean of inspection.
So for the average person, Walter, what are you looking for in the camera when for
high resolution? And they're all, to be quite frank, most of them have that resolution that you would need.
But what are you looking for on your roof?
Looking for anything that is obvious for the eye for you as you know, as a homeowner. Like if your shingles are curling,
frayed, and
if you have missing shingles because certain windstorms, if you have missing caulking, if you have a flashing that flew off, these are the things that are, you know, easy to jump in your face, obviously.
Okay. Right.
So, I mean, that's, you know, the chimney, the bricks on the chimney cap, you know, if you have any joints that are or any brick pointing that needs to be done up there.
Drones. You
know. Yeah.
Safer.
Safer, and it's fun to do.
9:15, Elizabeth, we're coming to you in just a second. And if you want to call and talk to Walter, do so right now and grab a line at 514-790-0800. It's exactly 9:15. Did I mention the time already? I'm okay.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Answering your calls is Walter Assey from Renovco for the entire hour. It's 9:22. Elizabeth has been waiting patiently out in DDO, and she's on the line. Elizabeth, you still there?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
Okay, you?
Oh, I'm good. It's a beautiful day, but you want to talk to Walter about your thermal pump, right?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, this is an ongoing problem for a few years. Mm-hmm. Somebody from Energir came to do a maintenance, and after the maintenance, every time the thermal pump would start, I would get a little bang, and when it ended, I would get a bigger bang. I called the guy back, and he said it was the return that I should change my grills to a completely horizontal grill, but it had not been making that noise beforehand. Just this past January, I got a new furnace, a lot more efficient. And now when I start the thermal pump, it is a huge bang. When it first starts off, you hear a couple little bangs. And then when it stops, give it about 10 seconds, and then it's a loud noise. We all of us jump in the house because it's so big. Now, I don't know what to do. My grills, I've taken them off, so there's nothing obstructing it. I only have two returns. What can I do?
When Energir came to do, you said, some work, what did they do exactly?
It was a maintenance.
Okay, and maintenance meaning they changed the filters? Did they change anything in the system?
Well, no, the filters were, I changed them regularly every 3 months, so that was okay. But I don't know what he did exactly.
Okay.
He just checked everything. He didn't tell me anything was
and issue. This started immediately after the maintenance was done.
Yes.
Okay. So the best way to kind of investigate this further is to know if they can send you a report of what they've done or changed in their visit. Because you're saying right after they did their maintenance, this problem started.
Exactly.
Okay. Did you do any renovations?
After. The maintenance was done, so.
Okay. What kind of renos?
I did my basement downstairs.
Okay. Were there any returns that you blocked by mistake? Was there anything that you're sure 100%?
Yeah, I'm sure 100%.
Okay. So the best way to know what happened is to kind of look at their ledger to see what they have done in the maintenance and kind of reverse engineer that backwards. There's always something to be said when a problem was not there before. And then the problem suddenly appeared after someone fiddled with a system.
It was the same guy who came back.
Yeah.
And he said there was nothing wrong. It had to do with my return.
But that's the issue. It's the same guy that came back, right?
Yeah.
So that's the guy that caused the problem. I'd like to have, personally, what I do is I'll have a second opinion. I want to see what happened, but for to give us more data, we need to know what did the guy do so we know how to investigate in the proper direction. You know, anybody could look at your system and recommend ways for you to improve it, but the fact of the matter that your system was working well prior to this guy's visit. Yeah. So whether your returns had an issue or not, you didn't have those big bangs. So I'm a bit suspicious about what happened there. If you can call us back once you have that information, we might be able to assist you better. Or just call another company and get them to send you a service call inspection and let them give you their opinion as well.
Because I figured with the new furnace, it would stop doing that. But not at all.
But you're saying the problem is with your heat pump.
It is, but it goes through the furnace.
Yes, but obviously you're saying if it's through the heat pump and I'm, yes. You know, it's again, if we can just know a bit more details, we can assist better. You are allowed to ask what kind of maintenance they did and which components they changed, what did they do. From there, we could look and we could say, okay, well, if this is badly installed or something not compatible, it might cause this problem and so on and so forth. It's really a much easier way to go through this. And we see that often. We see that often when something gets changed or something in the house gets renovated. All of a sudden, there's a domino effect because something was either forgotten or it's just, you know, like when you change windows, for example, people call you back and say, well, my house all of a sudden is more humid. Yes, because your house is more sealed now. So if you have humidity in the house, it's going to show a lot more. So when you have that issue, get us the, if you can even email me if you want. I'll look at it and I can give you what to look for so we can zero in on the problem a bit better.
Unfortunately, I think that I threw it out because it was a long time ago.
You can always call them back. You can. I'm sure they keep a record.
Yeah.
I'm sure they keep a record. If not, like I said, get another opinion, get another technician to pass through, and they will be able to assist you a lot more and give you an objective opinion. If the guy did a screw-up, he's not going to admit, oh, hey, by the way, I screwed up, no. I did this or I did that, especially if he caused the problem in the first place, right?
No, somebody who installed my furnace, they're coming back next week. Well, he's going to call me next week because they're very busy this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And he said he would look into it.
Do me a favor, and if you do find what the issue was, please call us back and let us know. I'm just curious.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. Good luck, and let us know how things pan out.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. 514-790-0800. It's 928. Can I throw a text question at you before
of
news?
Of course.
Roger, hang on. We'll get you right after the news. Don't go anywhere. It says, good morning, Ken and Walter. I have a large enamel kitchen sink that has chipped. Can the sinks be repaired and refinished? And if so, what's the process? Who could do that kind of repair for me? We have a couple of minutes here.
It can. It can. And it's fairly easy to do. There are guys that do epoxy repairs with colors. It does a nice, pretty nice job, I find. You know, it's honestly, if it's a small area, any handyman can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that's good in finishing can do it. So you don't need to have a specialty. You know, you just need to have the right kit and the right color. And that's pretty much what it is.
There you go. All right. Thank you for that text question. You can send one in as well at 514-800. All right. Call us now and get a line for the second half hour. I'll work our way towards 10 o'clock. Lisa's already in the building, chomping at the bit. She's going to take care of you between 10 and 11 with the car show. But this is the Home Renovation Show on Saturday morning, 514-790-0800. We're going to talk to Roger in just a second. By the way, I just want to set you up and let you know. Oh, yeah, about foundation repairs and leakage. That'll be the issue for you on this beautiful Saturday morning. A little weather check for you before we get to Don. Let Don settle in. 22 at the moment. 26 will be the high for today. It's just a beautiful weekend, and it's great that you're spending part of it with us here on CJAD 800.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
At 9:35, welcome back. Second half hour. If you want to get on the air and have your questions answered by our expert, Walter from Renovco is here to take care of that. 514-790-0800. Let me bring in Roger. Hi, Roger, out in Roxborough, right?
Right, Roger here.
Hi, Roger. You want to talk to Walter about a foundation repair, is that it?
That's right.
Okay.
I have a split level in Roxborough. I've been there about 55 years and haven't had leakage in the basement now for about 25 years or so. One wall was repaired, and not a big repair, but repaired. But I had another place where I had water infiltration in a very annoying part with in the furniture kind of a furniture area, there's a bar area and so forth around it, and that hasn't bothered me for at least 25 years, but I guess those last two rainstorms got me, and I haven't surveyed all the damage yet, but there certainly was enough water in there, and it may have spilled over into my furnace room, and I've had a floor with cracks in it, and the cracks hadn't changed for years, and now they're breaking up a little bit on the surface. So I have an infiltration problem and a bit of other floor problems there, and I'm just wondering, where do I start on the problem? I haven't been at this stuff for a long time.
Where do you begin?
And I guess I'm not getting any younger either.
Oh, you sound fine to us, Roger.
Please don't speak too quickly. I have hearing problems, too.
Very good.
No problem. So tell me if I'm going too quickly for you. My first question to you would be, do you do a walkthrough outside to see if there's anything visual to the naked eye?
There was some water standing that I hadn't seen for a long time near where the water might have come into this latest infiltration.
Okay, so we're going to have a checklist that we're going to go through together, okay? When I mean visual inspection, beside water, that's good actually, that you saw where the water was pooling, have you seen any visual foundation cracks?
I don't see a foundation crack that I know of, anyway.
Okay. Is there a downspout in that location? A gutter?
Is there a which?
Downspout. A gutter downspout.
No.
Okay. Is there, when you look at the slope, does the slope of the landscaping slope towards the house or away from the house?
Part of that's a flat area. It could be a little bit of water does crawl through the house. It's a partly a paved area, and there's a staircase there where the earth goes up higher and higher against the house. That's about all I can tell you about it.
Okay. So in that particular location, what you might do as a fast fix for now is see if you can, and usually the cheapest and easiest fix, see if you can slope the water away from the house in that area by adding soil or if it's paved by kind of getting some cold asphalt to kind of create a slope with the cold asphalt. And the reason you want to do that is because just by simply doing the simple fix, you are evacuating about 90% of the water volume away from your foundation. Okay? So already you have, you know, 90% of the problem, you know, kind of not resolved, but at least diminished.
Right.
Now, you want to investigate this further. There's many ways we could do that. Number one, I want to see what's happening with the French drain. So what I'm going to ask you is, do you have a sump pump at home?
Yes. The sump is almost kitty corner away from that place.
Okay. Now, when you look inside the pit, is the sump pump dry or is it active?
And the sump pump seems to be working just fine.
So it does work when you have big rains?
Try that again.
Is it working when you have a lot of rain or
a lot
when
of
the
heavy
water table is high?
It works, and it seems to work well.
Okay. Even in the heavy rain, Roger?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, how many... So you have about, what, two drains that are coming in, right, from either side of that pit. Am I correct?
Try that again.
So when you look at the pit, you have two drains, one on the right, one on the left, where from either side of the house... And both are bringing in water to the pit. Am I correct?
There may be a slight possibility of one drain pipe touching it, but that's
okay. All. Well, after the phone call, you can check it out. It's not a problem. What I want to try to see if there's any failure in the pump. Sometimes what happens if you have two, you can have one that is working, another one that is not working. If you want to investigate that further and you're not sure, hopefully you have some chimney pipes coming out from the drain that we could put a camera through and we could see if your French drain is properly working. Now, The easier, like I said, the easier, fastest way to solve this is, or to diminish the issue is by simple landscaping. Now, if you want to investigate this further, again, try to look. And when I say foundation crack, I don't only mean in that area. Because if you have water in one area, it doesn't mean that that's necessarily where the water is coming in from. Water does travel.
Okay. I think this is the time I'd better look at the foundation just to make sure. The water away from the house, it may have an influence, but I'm not sure.
Okay. All right.
I know what you mean. Keep the water away from the foundation.
That's correct. Now, the other thing that you want to do, if it's not a foundation issue and water is coming in, is obviously if you can't look down, you have to look up, right? So the more your investigation have to go, now you look into the bricks, you look into the windows, you look into the roof. If it's a flat roof, usually it's from the flashing. And so on and so forth, you know. But 90% of the time, it is coming from the foundation when it's from when the water is coming in the basement, especially at floor level. 90% of the time, it's due to a foundation issue, whether it's a crack or a French drain issue.
What were you going to say, Roger?
Yeah, what I'm thinking about is, I really think that after those two rains, we've got to do something about the foundation, because the other characteristics are certainly could influence, but are not liked, in my view, likely to influence the water infiltration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So
I'm concerned about contractors are coming out your ears on the internet and so forth. How do I hit the right contractor to do the job?
Well, I mean, to get the right contractor, you want to know what the real problem is. And the reason I'm saying that is because a foundation contractor is not necessarily a French drain contractor, is not necessarily a brick contractor. It's not. So you need to kind of zero in on the problem. Once you zero in on the problem, it's a question of you doing your own research as well. Don't just, use what the contractor tell you as a solution. Be proactive in the inspection process to see that everything that's been found is indeed there. And just, be as proactive supervising what's going on. That's the wonders of the internet now, is you could do a lot of research on your own and get a lot of information beforehand. But the only good news is, typically, when you kind of zero in the problems in foundations, they are actually very black and white to see. So you can, if there's a crack, it's right there. If it's a foundation issue and you're passing French drain issue, and you're passing a camera, I mean, you're seeing the video in your own eyes. So if there's a crushed French drain or a blocked French drain somewhere, you will see it firsthand. Okay. But again,
by the way,
this is
right next to the wall of the crawl space.
Okay. Okay, so the crawl space, what you're saying, might not have a French drain.
Crawl space yet, but okay. That's next.
All right, so but here's the thing then. Okay, so because in certain cases, and you are right, if you don't have two sump pumps and the crawl space is a different height, you might not have a French drain in the crawl space area, which makes landscaping ultra important.
Mm.
Okay, because again, if you 90% of the water can be channeled out. Now, having said that, when I say gutters, downspouts, people tell me there is, for example, yes, I do have a downspout and I do have an extension. We go there and their extension is 2 feet or 3 feet.
It's got to be longer.
It's got to be longer. Yeah. Minimum 5 feet. Yeah. So if you have a small, short, little extension, pretty much you have no extension. Let's put it this way.
Yeah.
So, I have about 10-foot extension on the nearest drain.
Okay, well, that's good. That's actually
drain from the roof.
That's actually even better. That's great. So that you can eliminate right off the bat. You can eliminate that right off the bat. The working system of the gutters is another thing. If it's overflowing in areas and, we have the extensions, but it's blocked and it's overflowing, so it serves you no good. That you usually look in a downpour. I love to look out the window and see what is wrong.
Where's the water going?
Where is the water going and how is it reacting? Especially in a downpour, because that really tests everything that is weak in the house. So like I said, what you do is you start. Get more than one opinion. Always get more than one opinion. Call in people. Let them give you what they think the issue is. And then they will give you the remediation, steps, and then you could take it from there.
Roger, we're up against the clock, but I hope Walter's advice was some help for you.
The only other question I have is any suggestions on how to hit the right contractor.
Oh, it's...
You know what? That's a great question, and we always have issues looking at that in different trades. The first thing, obviously, the obvious is for the contractor to be licensed, to be insured, and to be bonded, and then they have a valid license, a valid insurance, and so on and so forth. The other thing would be how long have they been in business? Okay, someone can have. I had a client that she called and she was asking me, she goes, I'll look at this company and they have great reviews and whatever. I look at the company for her as a favor, and the company is in business for 6 months and they have 5 reviews.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not an active company.
Yeah.
Well, it might be active, but I'm saying is there's not enough experience back there.
Not enough of a track record to say
those 5 people could be the cousin, the uncle, and the Holy Spirit, right? the obvious is how many years they are in business, and if they have continuity of years in business, for you, that's a good indication.
Yeah.
That is very important to us.
All right. Roger, we have to run. I hope things turn out, and let us know when you get some results, all right?
I think you've covered the subject, and thank you very much.
I appreciate your time. Thank you, Roger.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
It certainly is a Saturday morning staple here on CJAD 800 for many years. Walter Assey is across the table from me from Renov Co. To answer your calls, you can call now, 514-790-0800. I know this is a question where you might not necessarily have an answer, but I'll throw it out there anyways. It's from the text line, Walter. Yeah. Hi, guys. Is there a company you can recommend for maintenance on my washer and dryer? I guess you can always go back to the place where you bought it in terms of finding some maintenance.
Not necessarily the place that you bought it, but what my experience has been with repair people for Electroménager, for all the appliances, the local guys are the ones that are going to serve you better, meaning geographically serving your area.
Okay. Your neighborhood.
That's correct. Right. The closest one to you is probably the best bet. If you call someone from the East End and you live out West, even if they're good and I recommend them, they won't even bother to go there. To be quite frank, it's so straightforward, these things now, that any maintenance man could do it. So there's not really one good company that I could recommend when it comes to these types of maintenances.
Walter, I was watching, one of those channels on TV where they renovate homes. There's so many of them. And they were talking on this particular episode about what were they calling it? The 10 renovation mistakes that people make.
Mm-hmm.
Let me throw a couple at you and get you to weigh in. One of them was the mistake people make when they're renovating the house is being afraid to change the layout of the bathroom. Would you agree with that? Like, they're intimidated by changing the layout, and the experts are saying, no, don't be afraid to change it.
Well, I mean, that's actually very interesting you mentioned that. A lot of times you go to homes and they have one bathroom, right? And it's usually a small bathroom because it's a smaller house. So it's an 8x7 or. The best thing to do in this case is take that bathroom and make it count. So if you need to get a closet from one end or get eliminate a laundry sink from another end, it's now the time to do it.
So don't be afraid of moving the shower or moving the toilet.
Of course not. Make it make sense. When you do a renovation, it's not just to make it look good. It's also to look at, to make it look a lot more practical. That's the success of a renovation, is the practicality of what you're doing. The design is great and it's important, but if it's not practical, it serves you nothing.
The other one that I remembered was another mistake people make when they're renovating the homes is assuming that you want hardwood floors everywhere, and it's not necessarily practical for everyone.
That's correct.
Or the right decision for everyone.
That's correct. That's now there's so many choices out there that, do some research beforehand and do not just go with what you're used to or what you've been seeing. That's why I let people go to our showroom most of the time, and I tell them, look, we have a whole different variety of floors. Just to make sure that there's not one stone that is unturned. And you're going to spend the money and you might regret it because there's another product out there that you might have liked more. And like with engineered floors, we used to do it only in condos. Mm-hmm. Now we mostly do it in homes as well because engineered floors is done, it's hardwood, engineered hardwood, but it's done to be more resistant, especially for people with pets. It looks like hardwood floors. It is technically hardwood floors. But it's really more resistant. It gives you a lot more life in the sense that when you're using it and abusing it, and they have a tendency to be able to go with wider planks. There's a bit more flexibility, so you can have a nicer look as well. That's why I'm saying do some research and don't just do what, I want to see a client. She's doing the whole house, and she was choosing a 2.25 hardwood floor. Width. It's not in style anymore. And then when I showed her the other options that there is, she was shocked. She goes, oh my God, they do it that size. Oh my. And then, at the end of the day, imagine how big that mistake would have been.
Here's another one. One more before we go here. Apparently, it's a common mistake. Mismeasuring your kitchen cabinets, which can land you in a lot of trouble.
That's correct. That's definitely correct.
Didn't you tell me a saying once you said about measuring? You measure 10 times and you cut once?
Twice and cut once. That's correct. That's why I say it's planning an organization. And that's one thing that when people tell me they want to kind of do it themselves, I kind of grinch a bit because it's an expensive mistake and it's common. And, even professionals make mistakes with cab, especially in like weird layouts or angles in a kitchen. Getting the right cabinet in the right place. And sometimes it's the sink that they got the wrong cabinet for. And that throws you off the whole kitchen. Yeah. So you're right. Measurement of kitchens is probably the most expensive mistake that you could do.
One more for you. They say a big mistake people make when they're renovating their house is they ignore a floor drain in the laundry room.
Yes.
Right.
Not only in the laundry room. In any water closet, in any place where there's water, you need to have a drain by code. So if you have a water filter system, like if you have a artesian well, you need a drain. Furnace, you need a drain. So anywhere where there's a possibility of getting water, you need to have a floor drain. Mm-hmm.
Walter Assey, he's the guy. He's our go-to guy Saturday mornings here. Walter, thanks for a great hour.
My pleasure, sir.
All right.
Welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's 9:59. We're going to welcome Lisa Christensen here in the studio for the car show and her entire hour. So keep the number handy at 514-790-0800. Jimmy, thanks so much. Don is standing by with an update from the newsroom, and then Lisa takes over the chair. Have a great Saturday.